I want to start with a question. In the time that Jesus lived, what do you think he talked about the most? What was his main message? His favorite topic? Any ideas? Oh, you guys are just too clever. The kingdom of God. And that's great, isn't it? It's really nice talking about the kingdom of God. The problem is that we live in a day and an age and a country where the concept or the word kingdom doesn't really mean too much to us. A kingdom is an area that is under the rule of a king. And this isn't easy for us to grasp. So it means that we need to do a little bit of thinking about what the kingdom of God actually is. Now, guys, now kids, I do have a story and I've got some other stuff that we're going to do. So don't feel like you need to rush off and get paper and stuff like that unless you really, really want to. Okay, because I'd really love for you to be listening and thinking about the stuff that we're going to be talking about, okay? So here we go. Here's a story. Do you guys like stories? You guys like stories? Well, come and listen to me instead of doing your little drawing then, okay? Awesome. That'd be great. Excellent. Okay, now this in this story, it is in a not so far away land. And it's not that long ago. In this land, there was some trouble. The king of this land had gone away on a long journey. And while he was absent, his throne had been stolen. One of the king's helpers decided to desired the power to rule. And with the king gone, he decided to take it all for himself. While he had no right to rule, he pretended to rule. And so he became known as the Pretender. As he used the power he had assumed for his own purposes, the land grew to reflect his selfishness. People mistreated one another, they took what they wanted, they cheated and they hurt each other. The poor and the weak, they suffered the most, as every person seemed to think and care only about themselves and what they could get. Just like the pretender on the throne, those who had power, they wanted more, and they would not let anything or anyone get in their way. But there were some in the land. Though there were some in the land that remembered the true king. They knew that the true king was kind and gentle. He was generous and loving. And when he ruled the land, the people showed his love to one another. In the time that he had ruled, people looked after everyone in the kingdom, especially those who could not look after themselves. These ones who remembered the true king still called themselves citizens of the kingdom, though he called them something else. This good king would not have subjects or slaves or anything like that. He called them his children. They were princes and princesses. And they declared that each and every one that honored him as king was a knight of the land. You know, like knights, like in shining armor, they're supposed to be strong and good, I think. They were to be defenders, these knights. Defenders of the truth and protectors of what the kingdom stood for. These knights displayed the king's crown as a sign of their belonging to the true king and his kingdom. But now that the land is under the influence of this cruel pretender, these knights know they must act. There are whispers in the land that the true king will return and put right his land. The knights are determined to show this is true and to remind everyone of the way the land was meant to be. When the king returns, they will show him that they have not forgotten. And while they wait expectantly for him, with every day they live lives that show his ways. They're displaying the crown and boldly declaring, "Your kingdom come." your kingdom come. Now, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God represents the way things should be. The way things were always meant to be. The best and most right relationships in every way between people and God and the earth. No poverty, no injustice, no slavery and degradation of one person by another. No pain, no tears, no suffering, no pollution, no sin, and no death. The kingdom of God is not so much a place, but more a way of life. Life where God is king, and where God's ways and God's rules are what happens, because it's God's kingdom. Now, how awesome does that sound? How awesome would that be? Oh, that's massive response. Yeah. But, you know, this is what it's like in heaven. This is what God intended at the beginning of time. And yet life is not quite like that, or like this, is it? But don't get me wrong, it is not all negative. You see, wherever there is truth, wherever there is restoring of relationships, wherever there is responsible use of the environment, wherever Jesus is loved and followed, and here in these places is where we see glimpses into what the kingdom of God is like. But the thing is, we only really get glimpses, don't we? The glimpses are good, but we want more. Well, I want more. I'm sure you guys want more, deep down. It's like we need God's kingdom as it is in heaven, isn't it? It's like we need it to also be on earth. We want it to be on earth. And when Jesus is asked to teach his friends how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, this is how he begins, by acknowledging who God is and asking simply of God, what does he say? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus chose those words so carefully because they really matter. The life of the Christian is about partnering with God and seeking to bring about more of God's kingdom on earth. And Jesus also showed us what this kingdom of God on earth would actually look like. And we see this in Luke chapter 4. These things will be our focus over the coming weeks. The evidence that Jesus' prayer to God the Father was being answered. That God's kingdom would come increasingly to earth. This is what he said. Jesus said, "The Lord's Spirit has come to me because he has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to announce freedom for prisoners, to give sight to the blind, to free everyone who suffers, and to say, this is the year the Lord has chosen." These concepts are at the heart of God's kingdom, and they set the framework for these coming weeks during our self-denial appeal. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so these three parts we'll be looking at: good news to the poor, freedom for prisoners, and the time that God will show his kindness, or the year of God's favor. Our focus for the next few weeks, will, as we lead into remembering and celebrating Jesus' death and resurrection, i.e. Easter, is on Transcend's work and how God's kingdom on earth is being seen there. Now, just for those who might not know, Transcend is part of New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society. It's the part of that that sends people into other countries to help bring the kingdom of God in more fullness. So Transcend belongs to the Baptist churches. It belongs to us. And this prayer and self-denial focus starting today, and then for three more weeks, is about prayer. It's raising awareness and financial support. We'll be seeing how the kingdom of God is slowly but surely coming about through some of Transcend's work. How the darkness of humanity at its worst is being pushed back by the promise of something better. And so we'll be raising awareness of Transcend's work through following the story of a woman that they're working with. We'll be praying for missionaries, and some other things will be going on. And also I hope that we'll be generous in self-denial generous by denying ourselves something. This is what this whole self-denial appeal is about. Denying ourselves something so that the work of seeing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven can be resourced. And so I have a challenge for us. Our passage over the next 3 weeks is Luke 4. It talks about God's kingdom being good news for the poor and those that are trapped. Now, this is the case for many people in our immediate Spotswood community. And so my challenge to us is to live like many of our neighbours for 3 weeks. Or more if you wish. Or if God wants you to. Many locally are poor and trapped through sickness and unemployment for whatever reason, which means they live on a wins but benefit. So my challenge is for each of us to live off a benefit amount and to give the difference between that and what we normally earn to transcend. So I'm going to send out specific amounts of what that would be for an individual, couple of children via the West Weekly, hopefully tomorrow. But to give you a heads up, a single person would receive approximately $400 a week. Now, that's not much when you can start considering how much it costs to live. Now, that's at the most, according to some things. Oh, okay, you guys are putting me right. Okay, so I've got that wrong, have I? Yes, Kathy? Yep, sorry, so I incorporated into that the other bits that you would get, so, yes. Okay, I will put those amounts out tomorrow. My apologies. I had actually talked to some people about this as well, so I must have got the wrong end of the stick there. Maybe my maths was off with it. But adding up the different parts, because it's all broken in different parts. There's baseline and there's additional bits. So I will let you know. Okay. It's very hard to actually find out these amounts by talking to WINS. Yeah. They make it complicated on purpose. Okay, so now there are some implications for us. Because many of us are going to need to, if we're going to take up this challenge, then many of us are going to need to say goodbye to some things. Some things that we probably love and that we take for granted. So I'm going to need some volunteers to come up and take some things that you might like, that you might not be able to live on if you were living on a benefit. Now, you might see a certain table over here. Now, who likes lollies? Lollies. Oh, I know this boy here likes lollies a lot. Would you like to come and take these lollies? As a symbol of the fact that you might not get lollies for the next 3 weeks. You might even like to hold that lollipop stick. There we go. Now, who likes ice creams? Oh, Brian, I see that hand. Come and take something, Brian. Now, who else likes ice creams? Emmett does, Zach does. Now, this is a symbol that you might not be able to eat ice cream if you're living on a benefit for the next 3 weeks. That's a 2 litre for you and Judy. Yep. Now, Zach, here's an ice cream cone. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's pretty empty, isn't it? This is a cone for you, Emmett. Don't eat it all at once. Now, this is highly controversial in this place, I know, but I'm sure you know what this is. It might mean, if you are living on a benefit, you might not be able to do this. Now, I'm not saying this flippantly, because this is actually the reality for some of us here, and this is actually a really serious thing. Now, who would like the will? Oh, okay. this is the latest pair of shoes that I bought. Oh, good, the price tag isn't on it. You might not be able to buy the pair of shoes that you want, or how fancy is that? If anyone's in the know, I don't know, but it came from my brother and high-flying brother and soon-to-be sister-in-law, I hope, in London, shopping. The point being is that actually op shops are a very realistic option for those amongst us and wider afield that are living on benefits. Would someone like to come and take these as symbols? You can bring them back at the end if you want. And I'm especially going to suggest that when it comes to my modem and Naomi's tablet. Okay, so here's symbols here. Now, does anyone like eating out? Does anyone like fast food? Now, I'd like to let you know, thank you, I'd like to let you know that I had to sacrifice my body in order to obtain some of these resources here. This is how much I care about you all. So anyone here like Big Macs? And by the way, I did not eat 3 Big Macs. I had one, and then I asked for a couple of spare containers. So one of these has a used one. Who likes Big Macs? Aaron does. Emmett does. Emmett, you want to grab one? Hester? Very good. There you go. This is a symbol here. Come on, Emmett. Here you go. You might not be able to have these over the coming time. And internet, modem, for wireless. Boys down the back there, I see those hands. You know what? This means, I'm not suggesting you come and take this. What I am suggesting is that living like, living on a budget might on a benefit means that you might not be able to afford internet access at all. I'm talking not even dial-up, let alone ultra, UHF. I'm not sure about tablets either. So, you get the point. So, rather, you might like to eat in. You might like to buy an item of clothing from an op shop. Or go to the library. There you go, boys. How about this? Every time you want internet access, you can go down to the library. How does that sound? How about sharing a car ride or catching a bus? Walking is a good idea. Okay, that's the end of the message. So this is my challenge to you if you choose to accept it. A little bit of, I don't throw my sunglasses and they're not going to explode, but yeah. Right, let's pray. God, this is really real stuff because you have a special place, it seems, in your heart as we read the Gospels for the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized. So God, over these 3 weeks, as we focus on your kingdom coming, may you work in our hearts, may you stir our hearts to desire you and your kingdom more and more in every part of our lives and in every part of the lives of every part that we have influence over. So God, we ask that your spirit would be stirring us. And like your spirit was on and in Jesus, may your spirit be at work in us over these weeks. Amen.